We present Dick Bentley, Jimmy Edwards, June Whitfield, and Wallace Eaton in The Glums, a typical domestic story of vulgar, moronic, and pathetic everyday folk. With June as F, Dick as Ron, and Jimmy as the awful Pa Glum. Today's story is entitled, Doesn't Crime Pay? Or Support Your Friendly Neighborhood Burglar. As usual, Pa Glum is wearing for worse at the local pub.
Gentlemen, Mr. Glum. Oh, I must say, Mr. Glum, you're very cheerful tonight.
Oh, yeah?
You pulled up another of your business strokes, have you?
Not half, I haven't, Ted. Not half, I haven't. You know me. There's no stopping me once my fertile brain starts fertilizing. Well, the whole episode started last Monday night, you see. Ron and F were in the front room. They spent a lot of time in the front room. I wasn't there at the time, and F, she started to hear them mysterious noises.
Now, eh?
I'm not imagining the noise, Ron. I keep hearing it. It's a definite creak. There it went again.
Oh, Eff, you're just nervous. That's your trouble.
Well,
you work yourself into a state about these things. Like in the pictures yesterday. Kept on saying, I can smell burning, I can smell burning. Nor sport my whole enjoyment of the picture.
But, Ron, it turned out your trouser leg was on fire. I am entitled to comment.
Not during the most dramatic part, right when Donald had caught his beak in the letterbox.
Well, I'm a woman, Ron, and I think... Listen, I heard it again. Something definitely went creak, creak. Oh, could it just be the woodwork contracting?
That's definitely what it is, Eff. In cold weather, the wood in Mum's bedroom wardrobe does get much smaller.
Oh, are you sure, Ron?
Yes, Dad keeps breaking bits off for the fire.
Ron, you have relieved me.
Really
are absolutely convinced that those little noises upstairs are merely woodwork contracting.
Yes, eh?
You dumb, that was no woodwork. There's a burglar in this house. He's moving around up... Ron, look. The door handle. It's slowly turning. Ron, come here. Ron, you can't do it. You're too tall to get in the sideboard drawer. Ron, don't desert me. Hold me, beloved.
No, Eff, you hold me.
Look at the door. It's opening.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, only snogging. Just a snog at twilight.
Oh, you, Mr. Glamour. I've never been so glad to see anyone.
Eh?
Oh, Mr. Glum, we've been sitting here and... Oh, you've no idea the thoughts that have been going through our minds.
I bet I have, Eric. I was young myself once. Oh, yeah.
Thoughts about burglars, Mr. Glum.
Oh,
Ron, what a relief, eh?
Yeah.
You see, Mr. Glum, I thought some noises upstairs were a burglar.
Oh,
but it's all right now. I know it was you.
Me? I haven't been upstairs.
Eh?
I've only just come in the house.
Oh, then there was somebody up there.
Ron, come out that sideboard drawer. And Eff, I'm surprised at you going in for hysterical imaginings like that. I thought you were level-headed. You're level enough everywhere else.
Mrs. Lum, I know it's silly, but I'll swear I heard a burglar upstairs. If you just poke your head up the stairs...
Oh, me?
Yes.
Once for all, Eff, there is no... There is no... Will you let me finish what I'm saying? Thank you. There is no burglar upstairs.
Dad, he's coming down the stairs. Dad, he's coming.
Don't panic. Just keep doing it.
Well,
it's three against one.
Yes. Shall I fight on his side then?
No. Come back, Ron.
Well, I...
Ron, I'll never...
He's knocking on the door. Oh, don't open it, Mr. Clum. Whatever you do, don't open it.
Don't worry, Ed. Don't worry. Ron, give me over that poker.
Right. Here you are, Dad.
Ah! Not the hot end! My hand. Oh, I'm burnt alive. Oh, I'm... Oh, I surrender. Camarade, all right, mate.
No,
come in.
No, Dad, don't...
Come in. Take what you want. Have the lot.
Oh, Ron, look. In the doorway. He is a burglar. He's got a sack and a torch and a big jimmy. Oh, Ron, for heaven's sake, say something to him.
Right now. Hello, Uncle Charlie.
Hello, Rona. I'm sorry to break in on you like this.
Rona, I don't understand. You mean this is your Uncle Charlie? A burglar?
Don't worry about it, Ed. He's not a very good one. Charlie, whatever you were doing of a burglar of us?
It was an honest mistake. I didn't recognize whose house it was till I got inside.
Ron's uncle, a professional burglar. I can't believe it.
Well, there's no need to cringe away from him like that, eh? You make him feel embarrassed. As it happens, Uncle Charlie is not like other burglars.
No. In what way?
He always gets caught.
What I mean is he don't do it out of viciousness, nor out of nastiness, do you, Charlie?
Oh, no. In fact, miss, I've found that many families welcome being robbed by a small, friendly burglar like myself. Yes, because of the insurance, miss. You see, whatever little I steal from them, they go and tell the insurance companies it was much more. So after the insurance companies paid them, they're better off for my little visit.
Is that so, Charlie? Is that right, my big brother?
Is it?
No, that's something I hadn't realised. That's very interesting, that is. Now, you mean to say now, I'm quoting just a hypothetical case here. You mean that if you had stolen something here tonight, well, what's my most valuable possession?
Me, Dad?
I mean something like a watch, something that works.
Right.
What I'm getting at, Charlie boy, is if you'd stolen a watch, there's nothing to stop me making out the insurance company that you'd nicked a lot of other things as well.
Nothing at all, no. And they pay you out for the lot.
Would they now?
Well.
Hey, we could all have a nice weekend at Brighton on it, eh?
Mr. Glump.
We'll jolly well do it. We'll do it. What a bit of good luck for you, Charlie, eh?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean it means your visit here has not been wasted. Now, go on, Charlie, go ahead. Pinch something. Knock off whatever you like.
Oh, no. I couldn't do that.
Eh?
No. Nicking from a strange house is all right, but nicking from a relation, Well, it's stealing.
Charlie, you can't let us down.
I'd never be able to live with myself afterwards.
Well, live with somebody else then. Charlie, how can you stand there and refuse your favourite nephew and his fiancée a lovely weekend by the sea? Charlie, you're an unnatural uncle.
Well, I'm sorry. I cannot half inch from my own flesh and bone.
Oh, I see. That's your final word?
Yes, it is. So if you don't mind, I'll go now. I'm rather upset.
Oh, see that?
If you'd be good enough to let me have my jimmy back, I'll prize my own way out. Good night.
Well, Mr. Glum, that seems to put the kibosh on that idea.
Don't you believe it, Ev. I don't give up that easy. Ron will tell you. In some ways, I'm like a bulldog, aren't I, Ron?
You mean the slobbering?
No.
You know.
I mean my stick-attitiveness.
Oh.
I'm going to go ahead with this plan willy-nilly. We've got all the marks of a burglary here. Footprints on the drain pipe. Jimmy marks on the door. It's quite enough. Ron, dial emergency and get the police.
I'm altogether happy about this, Glenn. £25 for Sun Ron's camel hair overcoat.
Oh, Mr. Glum, you can't say that Ron's ever had a...
Oh, I'm sorry, Ed. I accidentally stubbed my fag out on your wrist. I'm lost since that rotten thieving iron took my favourite ashtray. Alabaster!
Now, Dad. Dad, name-calling won't help.
I was trying to inquire where your son's camel hair overcoat came from.
From a camel.
I meant, have you a receipt?
That's where this thief was so vicious. A wicked. A wicked and vicious.
Yes.
Oh, he was wicked. Not only did he steal the well-beloved chattels on that list, what you've got down there, such trinkets as F's mink wrap and Ron's silk-lined opera cloak, my collection of Lewis Quinn sniff boxes, but he also stole a receipt from vicious and wicked, took them out of me escritoire.
Dad, how many times have I told you not to leave your escritoire hanging over the chair?
Shut up, you fool. Escritoire is French for safe.
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 Yes.
Well, now, Pancre, I'm not altogether happy about this claim. The total valuation comes to no less than £825. I don't believe we can admit liability to that extent.
I see. Well, no, Miss Hotchkiss, no. What are you prepared to go to?
Well, what are you prepared to go to?
Brighton.
Now then. Will you shut up and leave the negotiations to me? I'll tell you what I'm prepared to do, Miss Hotchkiss. Knock off the odd £25 and make it the round 800.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm prepared to do. Knock off the round £800 and make it the odd 25.
Done.
Very right. Well, here you are then. You'll find 25 £1 notes in this envelope.
Thank you very much. Ron will show you to the front door.
Mr. Glenn, yeah. You got away with it.
Yes, £25. I must put it somewhere safe. Slip it in that vase on the mantelpiece.
Dad, he's gone. Is it all right? Do you think he suspects?
Not a glimmer, Ron. We got the money and we're completely out of danger.
Thank goodness. Oh, yes. We're escritoire.
What?
French for say.
Straight after I sunk this pint, Ted. Ron's just out with F borrowing a bucket and spade. He's picking me up here, and we're going to go back to the house, collect the suitcase and the money, and then it's hey-o for the briny. Hello, here's Ron and F now.
Mr. Glenn, come on, or we'll be late. We got the bucket, and you'd never guess who we ran into.
Uncle Charlie.
Don't you mention Uncle Charlie to me. He was no help at all.
Oh, he did look shamefaced. In fact, he scribbled out this note and asked us to give it to you.
Hey, show me that note. What did it say? Let me get my glasses on. I see now that I was wrong in refusing to help you the other night. So this evening I slipped back in your house and did steal something. You can now go ahead with your plans and hope you all have a lovely weekend. He woke up too late, didn't he?
Isn't that a P.S., Mr. Glum?
What, where? Oh, you mean here on the note? Yes. So it is, yes. P.S., I didn't steal nothing valuable. All I took was that old vase on the mantelpiece.
Yeah, oh. The glove, it's the money.
Oh, yes, he's got our money.
I'll be flying.
That was The Glums, a recorded extract from Take It From Here, first broadcast in the BBC's Light programme on the 20th of March, 1957. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Jimmy Edwards and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, which was produced by Charles Maxwell. This edited version was prepared by John Brower.